Let us stand together tonight and begin our time of worship. Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah.
everything that. Thank you. Is it too hot in here now? Okay, because when we came in, it was like on 53. It was so cold. But if we're getting... Tracy, can you turn it down just a little? Now, this is one that most of you should know. So let's join together and everyone sing and praise God tonight. From our hearts and our souls, your praise. Because without you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We just come here tonight to praise you. Amen. Every move I make, every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I believe in you. Every breath I take, I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I believe in you. our songs tonight have to go with the message. And the song right before the message tonight is Undignified. Now this is a song I like. I like songs with a lot of energy, and this one has a lot of energy. So I hope that let's lift our voices tonight and show our energy and enthusiasm to the Lord. I gotta speak in the microphone or it won't pick up on the thing. They're just toys. All right. What is Sunday? Jacqueline. What? That's right. Come on. Thank goodness I didn't hit Susan. Okay. Yes? Oh, yeah. Sorry, don't tell on me. Okay. All right. What time is kickoff? Dylan. All right. Does anyone know? I don't know. All right. Name one team that's playing in the Super Bowl. Pam. The Colts. All right. What is another team? Joel.
The Bears.
When was the last time that the Bears were in the Super Bowl? What? Dylan.
85.
He can pass it along. 1985. What made that Super Bowl popular? Jamie?
Super Bowl Shuffle. Oh,
woo! All right, where is the Super Bowl being held? Wait, I'm sorry. Travis. What station is airing the Super Bowl?
Channel 5.
Woo! and Channel 5 is not ABC.
CBS.
That's true. CBS. Okay. What player from Tennessee will be playing in the Super Bowl? Is there another player from Tennessee? All right. Ryan. Woo! All right, I got two more prizes. Two more questions. What is the only reason that I will be watching the Super Bowl on Sunday? Heather?
I like football.
No. What'd you say? No. Jessica.
The commercial.
Throw it back there to Jessica. She knows me. One more prize. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Who?
Okay. I'm sure that very few of you did not know what Sunday was and what was occurring, what's going to occur on Sunday. Most of the world is fixed on the Super Bowl. If you live in America, football and, in general, sports are ingrained in our brains and through our television sets, unless you live in Nemo Land. And even Jamie and I knew that the Super Bowl was going on, even though we don't get to watch anything anymore. Pardon? That's right. Today is the last day of January, which means tomorrow's the first day of February, which means Super Bowl is Sunday. The hype surrounding Super Bowl Sunday got me thinking, what if Sunday morning worship service was treated like a major sporting event? Guys, turn up the sound.
Just about ready for the big show to start here in sunny Steepleville. And what a day it is. It just doesn't get any better than this. I'm Bob Cobb, joined by my colleague, Kathy Battler. And you're looking at beautiful aerial shots provided by Airship Worship, now broadcasting in HD.
And you love to see the players getting focused, getting their mind right, getting in the proverbial zone.
And here are the starting lineups brought to you today by Stump and Sons Altars, keeping knees at ease since 1933.
Dan Verbosky, pastor, the Bamford Theological Seminary.
Jerry Woodwind, worship, Eastern Southwest Central School of Divinity.
Frank Banter, associate assistant to the intern of the Executive Minister of Community Ministry, GED.
Jerry, how is the injury?
It's fine. There's some soreness. X-rays were negative, but I should be fine as long as I stay away from B-flat.
So. Are you worried about re-injuring it?
As long as I play hard and play at my pace, I think I should be fine.
Have you ever bet on attendance?
What?
Have you ever taken anabolic steroids?
No.
Have you ever lip-synced worship?
Listen, we're about to get started here.
And here's the kickoff. And it's a slow play. Wow, that's big.
You're the home team. You want to have a surprise or two up your sleeve. What I call mixing up ability.
It sounds like the new Darlene Zek or Zeke or Zeku.
Zeesh.
Is it Zeechi maybe?
Darlene Zeesh.
Let's go to our sideline reporter, Billy Sturpot.
This crowd seems a little bit lethargic, but this town is known for late crowds. So maybe by halftime, they'll be a little more into it.
It looks like Johnny Weems is headed for an early exit.
Chiefs fan. They play at 11.
Oh, my. Look at this. A huge error. Enormous.
You're the media team. You're leading the league in fumbles. You can't let this happen. You can't let this happen.
Terrible timing, especially on a new song. Look at this crowd. It's bedlam.
Pandemonious.
Look at Maggie Jensen. Veteran, overloud singer. She hasn't missed a word. What a performance.
One of the greats, Bob. One of the greats.
Now, that, of course, is a parody. But what if we geared up for worship? Or let's even take that a step further. Our eternal lives with our Savior, Jesus Christ, like we do when we're getting ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Or any other sporting event, for that matter. Many of us have played or are now playing sports. How many of you have ever played a sport in your life? So pretty much most everybody. How many of you are currently playing a sport? Several of you. What have you done or are you doing to get ready for the action? Dylan, what are you doing to prepare? Okay, you listen to your favorite song. Jessica, what are you doing to prepare? Joelle, what are you doing to prepare? You pray before you get ready for a game, okay? And I'm sorry, Dylan's brother, I cannot remember your name. Austin. Okay, so you stretch. Well, what else do we do to get ready for the game? Sandy. We do that. But we also practice and prepare and we get ready. Now, what about spectators? Even as spectators, we prepare ourselves. We tailgate. Or we bring food with us, or we bring money to purchase food at the game. And we wear proper attire. Heather, I know she came to church one Sunday before she was heading to the Titans game. She was ready to go. She had on her jeans. She had her t-shirt. She was ready to go to the Titans game. She was ready to be a spectator. She was excited. She was geared up. So, in fact, we're not just spectators, but we have a role in the game. We are participants. Even if we're watching the game, we're participating in the game. We're encouraging the players one way or the other. We fellowship with the other participants, and we study intently the goings-on around us. And at the very least, the spectators, the players, the coaches, the announcers, even the vendors, they're all getting into it, one way or another. They are participants in the game. Let's look at Psalm chapter 40, verses 4 through 10 for a moment. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. I'm sorry, this is taken from the Message. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I am coming to the party you are throwing for me. That's when God's word entered my life, became part of my very being. I preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept nothing back. God, you know that. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret, didn't keep it to myself. I told it all, how dependable you are, how thorough. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all, let the congregation know the whole story. The writer of this psalm is enthusiastic about God, and he wants to shout it from the rooftops. The writer keeps nothing back, not holding any secrets. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Water Boy with Adam Sandler? A lot of you have. And there's a scene at the very end of the movie where the sportscasters are there and they're talking and they're like, the Mud Dogs aren't going to hold anything back. They're holding nothing back. They're letting it all out. And that's how this writer is. He's holding nothing back. He's laid out all the plays. Says, I'm coming to the party you're throwing for me. The writer finds invitation to the heavenly banquet that God has prepared for him or her. and has RSVP'd. They are not expected to act superior for accepting, but humble that they have been given the opportunity. The announcement has been made. The game is set. But how can we get ready? And you mentioned a few ways that we all get ready for a sporting event, whether as spectators or as players. But Paul gives us instructions in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, how we can prepare for the spiritual game. Follow along with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. See, Paul has already set the stage for us. He's given us our main instruction on how to run to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. We must train our spiritual bodies. If we didn't train, we'd run aimlessly, without purpose, without direction. We train to run a race that's pleasing to God, a race after which is run, we will hopefully hear the words, "Well done. Well done." We run a race to be on fire for the Lord, not to be hyped or puffed up like some events may get. And I do have a kind of a warning against hype, and I know sometimes with concerts or new technology or whatever it is that we get excited about, we get all hyped up about something and then it kind of goes away. We're not talking about hype here, but we're talking about being hot for God, being on fire. But it also means to be humbled, to be an offering, a servant, an enthusiastic disciple for the Lord, where we have a get-to attitude instead of a have-to attitude. We are warned of wishy-washy lukewarmness, which is the opposite of being hot or on fire for God, in Revelation chapter 3. And this is a letter to the church of Laodicea. It's Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 22. Write to Laodicea, to the angel of the church, God's yes, the faithful and accurate witness, the first of God's creation, says, I know you inside and out, and find little to my liking. You're not cold, you're not hot. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're stale, you're stagnant, you make me want to vomit. You brag, I'm rich, I've got it made, I need nothing from anyone. Oblivious that, in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare and homeless. Here's what I want you to do. Buy your gold from me, gold that's been through the refiner's fire. Then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half-naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes for me so that you can see, really see. The people I love I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Upon your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me, I stand at the door, I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. Wow. This is the game. We're preparing for it. It's a game where it's all up to you. It's all up to me. It's up to each of us. I was watching Joel Osteen Sunday morning, and I like Joel. I don't always agree with everything that he says, but I like Joel, and I don't watch it a whole lot just because Braxton happened to be asleep at that moment. But he was preaching that it's up to us. If we want anything to change in our life, it's up to us. We have to make that change. We have to be the best whatever. No one can do it for us. Our moms can't do it for us. Our dads can't do it for us. Our brothers and sisters can't do it for us. Our teachers can't. Our neighbors can't. It's up to us. With our spiritual life, God gives us a choice. It's up to us. We each have a decision to make. No one can call this play for you. It's up to each of us individually. For our meditative prayer tonight, with all the excitement and enthusiasm that is going on surrounding this weekend, let us just spend time in silence. And contemplate, where are you in that race? Where does God want you to go? Let us pray.
I wasn't going to do this, but while we were praying, God put it on my heart to share this with y'all. My husband Jeff and I have a really, really good friend named Ronnie Ward. We call him Opie for short. And he was Jeff's captain at the fire department whenever Jeff was with Metro. Him and Jeff were like father and son. They're very, very close. Opie found out in November that he had metastatic lung cancer. And his wife is a Christian. His girls are Christians, but Opie had never been saved. He had never didn't go to church, didn't want any part of it, didn't see the need for it. After he was diagnosed with his illness, I talked to his daughter, and she said that the thing that was the hardest for them was the fact that they knew that he hadn't been saved. I don't want to come across as I did this, because I think God did it through me. I just had this, after I talked to Nikki, I had this overwhelming sit down and write him a letter. So I sit down and I wrote him a letter, and I shared, you know, Christ with him and how important he's a wonderful man, a good man. He loved life. He loved his wife. He loved his girls. He was good to people, had a heart the size of Texas. He had the Spirit of Christ living in him. He just couldn't recognize it and accept it. And I kind of shared that with him in my letter. And then Jeff also shared his faith with him. 2 weeks later, he was saved. He passed away last night. And when I talked to his wife this morning, she said that the only thing that made this bearable was to know that she knew where he was going to be. So I guess my witness to you is, if you know someone who is a good person, who you love dearly, but they just don't know Christ, you don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible. Just share the love of Christ with them and love them. And even, you know, I believe that even on your deathbed, you can be saved. You can win the race that Susan was talking about. So share your faith and share your love with everyone that you come in contact with. God will put that little bug in your ear and say, you need to do this here. Listen to that and share it, because it could change not only the life of him, I'm at peace because I feel like he is with Christ now, but it also changed the life of his family. In losing him, it's much more bearable to know that they will see him again someday. So just keep that in mind, and don't ever think sharing your faith is not worth it, because it is.
Blessed be your name. Thank you. What was his name again, Heaven? Huh? Yes. That's your great grandmother. What is her first name? A-L. You had another one? Okay. Yes. What was his name again? Say that one more time. Hiram Hall. That's your great uncle. He passed away. You know your great grandmother's name? Can you say it one more time? I have these allergies and my ears are stopped up, huh? Carton. Sorry. I can't hear my ears. Do you want to share your friend's name? Father and Mother. The Lord.